You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here
we are. And I still got some areas that he's working on, and I thank God for that. But every day, growing in grace, learning more, less of me, and more of him. And no time to play reindeer games no more. I must serve my Lord. He says in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Guys, do me a favor and mark that page, put your bulletin there, and go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. That should be page 1055 if you're using a pew Bible. Just a few pages back. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Thank you, Lord. In chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, he actually speaks about our lives as God's chosen people. We just sang a song about that God has chosen us. And he begins to speak about, he's teaching believers how really, in reality, we ought to live. Chapter 2, verse 1, if you're with me, say amen. He begins here, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." So he lists a litany list of these sinful worldly practices that we used to do. And he said, we lay it aside. And guys, by the way, you can't do that in of yourself. You can't stop sinning on your own. But with Christ, man, we can do all things. In verse 2, he says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby." And guys, I use this analogy a lot in regard to an infant, a baby. Listen, he instinctively is looking to his mother to be sustained. He instinctively knows that what he needs to live on this world, in this life, on this world, that can be found in his mother. And for a believer, we need to know, in order to be sustained spiritually, that we need God's word. That's where it is. And when the issues of life come, look, I know it's in God's word. I struggle with alcoholism. What does he say about being not drunk with wine? I struggle with lust. Let me see what he says about lusting. I struggle here or I struggle there. And God has something to say. And look, they're not just words. That's why I love his book. But they are inhabited with him and his spirit. And their truths. And listen, when I read them and make them part of me, hallelujah, I begin to live them and walk in them. And I'm strengthened because of God's truth, moment by moment and day by day. He says, as newborn babes, desire. And by the way, I don't work that desire up. Because I belong to the Lord, he gives me that desire. And just like a little babe will start crying, and look, you don't know what they're saying, but you put them near a bottle or his mother's breast, and he will show you what needs to be done. You don't even have to tell him. And for a Christian, man, when I'm going through, when life has just beat me on every side, and look, I don't have nowhere else to go, I open the book, and I begin to read, and I get sustenance for my soul. And when I'm finished reading, look, my issue might still be there, but how I react to that issue, it ain't the same no more. Because I know that the God of glory has just blessed my heart, and he helps me to know, Ralph, I'm on it. I got you. I'm going to take care of that. And listen, by faith, I believe it. And rather than me agonizing over it, I give it to him, and hallelujah, I keep on going by faith, believing God's going to do something. And by the way, by faith, yes, because Scripture said it, but also by past life experiences that he's always brought me through. And listen, I've had some buddies that said, Brother Ralph, I'm right here through thick and thin. And listen, it got thick and they got thin. And by the way, they let me down. And I've let some folk down over the years. But Jesus Christ had never let me down. Never. And will never let me down or let you down either. That's why we count on him. That's why we look unto him, who's the author and finisher of our faith. He says in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. And by the way, like a baby in his milk, if he drinks enough, he's going to start to grow. And after a while, he's not going to want milk anymore. He's going to want something more substantial. And listen, I started off praying, and my prayer was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And that's an honorable prayer, but I got to tell you, over the years, God has deepened my prayers because he's taught me something about him. And listen, my prayers are a lot deeper because I know a lot more about him than I did before. He says in verse 3, and this is a little caveat that we can't miss. He says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, if indeed you truly know him. And by the way, if you do, it's going to show. Not only will God know, but man's going to know by the way we conduct ourselves. He says, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 3, verse 4 says, and as we go into verse 4, he's going to show us how he's the foundation. He's the cornerstone of not only us individually, but for the church as well, because without Christ, there is no church. He said, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. And listen, precious, yes, of God, but precious or more precious or most precious to we who know him. And listen, the world don't want no parts of him, but to us, man, we can't live without him. And he's talking about Christ. And he goes on, ye also in verse 5, talking about believers as lively stones. And it could be interpreted, stones that are alive are built up on a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And by the way, no robes are needed. He says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And guys, he calls us priests. And because we are, we know that the Levitical priests, those that were in the tribe of Levi, they were born physically into it. But man, we have been reborn spiritually into this priesthood by the finished works of Christ and his calling us to be his children. In verse 6 it says, wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. He says, elect, precious, and him that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And he's letting us know, not confounded, won't be confused either. If you're in Christ, you know you're in Christ. Nobody can talk you out of that. So you won't be confounded. You won't be confused. And by the way, guys, there is only one chief cornerstone to the building. And our chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And as long as he's there, we're going to be okay. Amen. He goes on, and by the way, he's quoting out of Isaiah 28 and 16. Verse 7 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And yes, he's most precious. It says, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. And listen, we know that was God's doing and it was not man's doing. And listen, man just wanted to get Christ out of here, kill him, and then we can go on with our dastardly deeds. He goes on in verse 8, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, and he does offend the world. Even to them, he says, would stumble at the word, being disobedient. And I love this, whereunto, he says, also they were appointed. And guys, it helps me to realize that just as believers were appointed before the foundation of the world to be in Christ, to be his child, there were some that God knew would never come to faith, and that they had an appointment as well. And listen, though they think they're in control of their lives, that when they leave this earth without Christ and find themselves not only in a Christless grave, but in a place of abode with all these other folk that don't know Jesus. And by the way, that place is called hell. They will wish that they did not disobey him. But at that point, it's just too late. Amen. He says in verse 8, in a stone of stumbling, in a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. He says to all Christians, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And he has the audacity to say a peculiar people. And by the way, he's not saying you're peculiar because you look funny. He said you're peculiar because you actually believe that some 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ died on a cross and was buried and rose and went to heaven, and he did all that for you. And listen, from the world's perspective, we are peculiar, and I thank God for that peculiarity, and I pray I'll always be there. In fact, the word says that I will be, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you, look what he says, out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And by the way, the world thought they knew you, knew me. They don't know us anymore. He says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter says in verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, he says, which war against the soul. And a lot of times folk figure, well, I'm just going to have a little fun. I'm just going to do this or do that. And they don't realize it, that not only are they hurting themselves physically, they're hurting themselves spiritually as well. He said war is against the soul. Because that soul or that flesh actually is warring against Christ. And when you allow yourself to go in the flesh, that you're warring against God himself. He goes on in verse 12, having your conversation honest, he says, amongst the Gentiles, in other words, the unbelievers, they ought to not just hear you, they ought to see that you're right and different and peculiar from those of the world. He says that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, or speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, and by the way, they should behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And listen, what Peter is saying is that, look, they see you. They see how your life is. They see that you're walking with the Lord in something different. And listen, one day the Holy Spirit might touch their heart and visit them. And look, the only Jesus they saw was you. And listen, they knew it was something different, but didn't know how to get there. And the Holy Spirit touches their heart, and they recognize and realize, my God, that's what's going on with that person. That's what's going on with that person. They're Christians, and the Holy Spirit touches their heart in regard to that. And perhaps, because of your silent witness, God will bring them to faith in Christ as well. Amen. Flip back to John chapter 3. 1 John, I'm sorry, chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And listen, indeed we will. And by the way, man, I might not look like much. I might look like I need to lose a little weight. I might look like I'm getting a little older. I might look like I can't see because of the eyes. But hold on, because you ain't seen nothing yet. When my Lord comes back and straightens out this body and my vision and hallelujah, makes me like him, I'm going to be something to behold. And listen, you will be as well, and we'll be not marveling at each other. We'll be marveling at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hold on and hold out. It's going to get better. And for the world, it might get worse. In fact, it will. But for the believer, as we hold on until Christ comes back, you ain't seen nothing yet. He says in verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him, it says, purify himself, even as he is pure. In other words, the fact that I know Christ is coming back, the fact that he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, listen, the sin I did yesterday, I don't need to be there no more. The mess I was messing around with last week, that needs to be gone. I need to read more of his word and begin to do more of his word and allow his spirit to take over every aspect of my life. Because he's been blessing me so. And that's the least that I can do. Story is told of a man that allowed the Lord in every aspect of his life, or so he thought. And he told the Lord, you can have access to every part of my being. And Christ went in this room and that room, and every door was open. And there was one door that was locked. And Christ said, I want to go in there. And the man said, no, I can't let you in there. I keep some things in there I would not want you to see. And Christ said, I want to go in there. And the man kept fighting him and would not let him go in that room. And so finally, Lord, who is a gentleman, just walked away. And guys, I dare say that in the hearts of our lives, there are some rooms that we keep locked. There are some places that we won't let Jesus in. There are some sins or some lust or some thoughts or some cavities in our very being that God wants to clean up, but we won't let him there because we're not finished playing in there. And he says, just like he said to that man, when you finish playing around and you want me to take control of all of your life, you let me know, and you open that door, and you let me in. And guys, I don't know where your biggest obstacle is to growing in grace, but whatever it is, you need to give it to the Lord so he can begin to heal you in that area as well. We see in chapter 3, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin, it says, transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And indeed, though we're not keeping the law, the world will still be judged out of the law. It hadn't gone away. Christ just kept it. In verse 5, it says, and ye know that he was manifested, in other words, put on flesh, to take away our sins. And in him, it says, is no sin. And he put on flesh for that purpose, to pay for our sin. In verse 6, it says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth have not seen him, neither know him. And listen, he's talking about a continual life of sin, that the only time you're not sinning is when you go to a Bible study or you go to church, but outside of that, there's no change. And what John is saying is that there ought to be a change, and that God says that if you continually live in the area of sin, there's an issue with the relationship that you say that you have. And God says, you can't be mine and freely live in a world that's filled with sin. Again, the word says it, and by faith I believe it, but I also tried it, and it just cannot work. Amen. He says, and you know, verse 5, he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that continueth in sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, it says, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And listen, it began in the garden with the sin of Adam and Eve. And listen, he has already destroyed it in regard to us having a relationship with him through his finished works. And ultimately, guys, when he comes back to judge the world, he's going to discard the sin, discard Satan, discard the Antichrist, and all those that want to follow them. And we will practice sin no more. How about we get an early start? How about we shut it down now? Because we have the power within us, and that's God's spirit, to not do those things that are not convenient in his sight. And as a believer, we can do that if we turn all of our lives over to the one who knows no sin. In verse 9 it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And yes, believers, and listen, y'all will say amen, even if you don't say it outwardly, you know believers still do sin. But we also saw in 1 John 1 and 9 that we have an advocate, that if we confess our sin, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And by the way, that sin ought to get less and less and less the longer you're in Christ, because you realize even before it starts that my Father would not be proud of what I'm getting ready to do, to say, to think, or even my attitude. So I'm not going there. He says in verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Guys, I'm going to close out in that verse right there. When he's talking about love, he's not talking about that eros or that brotherly love. He's talking about agape love, that sacrificial love that God sent his Son to do for us. I'm going to close out with a quick story. I was watching a show, I think it's called Cops, and this was a while ago, and they were showing actual arrest. And this guy was with his girlfriend, and he was telling her, or had told her, they were telling the story, that he loved her, how much he loved her. And the problem was, he was a drug dealer. And he said, once we make this last score, you and I are going to go off on some island and we're going to live like kings. And so he got in her car with this load of drugs and they were going to deliver it. But there was a problem. The police already knew that this was going to happen. So they had been staking him out. They had been watching him. So the moment they got in the car and started driving away, the cops pulled him over. And I don't know how many pounds of whatever they were carrying he had, but they pulled him over. They put them both, him and a girlfriend, out of the car, put him in handcuffs, opened the trunk, and all these bundles of drugs were there. And so they were saying to the guy and his girl, look, we know you're a drug dealer. We know that that's what you do for a living. But you can save your girlfriend, your fiance, and you can just admit that the drugs are yours, and we'll let her go. And so we said, well, how do you know they're mine? And he said, because we know, have been watching you, and even know where you got them from. And then the cop said, but we know this is her car. And if you don't admit it, then she's going to be locked up for these drugs. And he looked at the cops, he looked at his girlfriend, and he said, sorry, babe. And he turned around and walked away. and she is standing there just crying, actual footage. You said you loved me. I thought we were going to get married. And how could you leave me like this? And guys, by the way, that's the love. That's the world's kind of love. That is situational love. And listen, he turned his back on this woman, and she ended up going to jail for X amount of years for his drugs. And listen, she kept thinking in her mind that he loved her. And guys, let me tell you something. The world will tell you they love you, but if only you've been loved by Christ, you had not yet been loved, who gave his life for us, and not only said he loved us, but he proved he loved us. And because he loved us, he sent that love to our hearts. And now we can love one another with that same sacrificial love that God has for us. That we can actually lay down our lives for one another, or go out of our way for one another, or not be so self-centered with our lives with one another because of what Christ has done for us. He loved you with the love that perhaps we're not going to fully understand until we get to heaven. But with his spirit living inside of us, the least we should know that he died for you. And because of that, we know that we will never have to taste hell, but have a home in heaven. That love that he has given, pass it on to one another, and be a blessing to one another. And in fact, even come out of your comfort zone to do something for someone else that's in need. He's going to go on to talk about this as we dive deeper into this book. But for right now, please understand that agape love that God had for you was shown through the finished works of his son. And let us be a blessing one to another with that same type of love. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this ministry moment, for this time in which we can look into your book of truth. And Father God, allow you by your spirit to help us to see, help us to understand. And Father God, even help us to grow. And Lord, there are many that are here that are going through some things. Father God, in the Galan family, they lost a loved one and they're hurting. And Father God, we know your love will even cover that hurt, that you can bless them, even in the midst of them going through. And Father God, for Stan, and who's going through some things with his body. And Father God, from the earthly perspective, it does not look good. But Father God, we know that you're in the middle of this and that you can do all things. So we're leaving him in your hands and even asking that you will touch the heart of Annette in regard to even worry or concern, Father God, and help her to cast that care on you, so that it does not concern her or worry her to the point of being sick herself. And Father God, for all those that are on our prayer list, Father God, we know it's some that need to come to faith in Christ, Lord. Please bring them from the darkness and into your marvelous light. We have some that are going through in their health. We have some that are on their deathbed. We have some that are going through all kinds of things. And Father God, unless you move, nothing will ever be done. So we ask that you would move, that you bless, and that you minister, and Father God, that you comfort them, and let them know that because you're on the case, that somehow everything is going to be okay. As we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake, let the church say, amen and amen. God bless you guys, and thank you.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.